Morning, Life Church. It is so awesome to be with you. What an incredible church. What an incredible place. I really would like you to give better than a Green Bay Packer cheer for your pastors, Pastor Aaron and Tammy. Can you do that right now? They are incredible people. I could tell you, I don't know Pastor Aaron super well, but I have served with him on the board at Convoy. We serve together right now at Evangel University on their board, and I love hanging out with people who are the same, whether they're behind a pulpit or they're out there. There's genuine, and you have a very, very special couple in this house, and I just really, really wanted to honor them. And it is so phenomenal to be with you today. This is my fourth time with Life Church. I think I've been in every campus. This is I saved the best for last. Somebody say amen. And it is wonderful to be with you. I trust that everybody is coffeeed up and ready to receive. I do want to pray real quick. Lord, thank you for this word. Thank you, God, for your anointing. Your words are already anointed, but anoint our hearts and our ears to receive it in Jesus' name. Look at a neighbor next to you and tell them, if you wouldn't have come to church today, go ahead, say that. If you wouldn't have come to church today, I would be the best-looking person here. The funny thing is somebody you really believe that. So, no, it's amazing to be with you today. How many of you know Hope has a name, and his name is Jesus? Hope has a name, and his name is Jesus. So they introduced me today as Dr. Nick, and I want you all to know that I'm a humble person. The reason I actually like when people introduce me that way, here's why. Because when I was a little kid in Othello, Washington, and Othello's a real town, you look it up. My family were a family of migrant farm workers. They traveled all across America, settled down in a little town called Othello, Washington. I was born in that town just about 15 years ago, and that was a joke. It was a joke. When we were there, God did some amazing things. I grew up in church. It was an Assemblies of God church. It was actually bilingual, so yo hablo español. Let me just tell you something about Spanish. If you look at your neighbor real quick and just say these words, if you speak Spanish, don't laugh, okay? Everybody else, just look at your neighbor and just say, feo. See, feo it sounds lovely, right? If you want to romance someone, learn some Spanish. You could just say feo or fea, and it sounds beautiful, but it actually means ugly. And in English, ugly sounds ugly, but in Spanish, it sounds beautiful, doesn't it? And so, you guys, I'm trying really hard here. But growing up, I was in church, and we had a preacher that visited us, and his name was Dr. Jesse Miranda. And for the first time in my life, I sat there as a kid going, Mexicans can be doctors? This is awesome. And so I followed him as a mentor for the entirety of his life from that point forward. And I went to some schools that he had gone to and whatnot. And I did everything I could to prepare myself because I wanted to represent what he represented in my life. I wanted to be able to go into churches and let young people know, if I could do this, anyone can. I want you to know that from the 7th grade till the 11th grade, during the spring semester of school, I had to go to night school because every single morning we were harvesting crops. So for me to be standing in front of you, I got to tell you a few things. It is a miracle of Jesus that I'm standing in front of you. It says a lot about my parents that I'm standing in front of you. And one more thing. It says a lot about my home church because I had people in my home church that believed in me before I believed in myself. And if there's one thing you can do at church is believe in the next generation because God is going to do greater things in them than he has done for us. Amen? My daughters are here with me and a testimony of the fact that God makes smarter people generation by generation. So Carissa, would you just wave? That's Carissa and Crystal sitting next to her. And No, they didn't fly out with me. They went to North Central and they got jobs after they graduated. So they're living in Minnesota and they took the drive out here this way. And it's just awesome to have them with me at my friend's church. How many of you know one day is a big deal? One day is a big deal. What did God do in one day? If you look at Scripture, God did amazing things when he would intervene in a day. What can God do in us in one day? And what can God do with you in one day? I want to break that down to you just a little bit, because some of you are in this room and you are going to give a one-day offering. And I want you to understand once again the power of your generosity. It is so fun to be in a generous church where people understand that when they give, they're partnering with God. And Convoy now is 100 and some semi-loads deep into what's going on the East Coast right here in these United States. And so when I say we are there, I literally mean we are there, because when you give to Convoy, when you give to One Day, yes, we feed people all over the world, but we're able to do things like what we're doing even right now. So One Day is a huge deal. I believe One Day can change someone's every day. One day can change someone's every day. And that God showed us right from the beginning what he could do in one day. We wouldn't have day if God hadn't created it. And I want you to know that when God speaks over something, it happens. When God speaks over your life, it happens. And when he spoke the days into existence, if you're here today and you're like, I don't know about all this stuff in 7 days kind of thing, it's just a big deal that God wanted to name each day and what he did each day, and that God cares about what happens in your one day. Amen? So don't forget to take that day of rest. Genesis 1:1. I'm going to preach the whole Bible. I'm just kidding. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless, empty. Darkness covered the deep waters. In other words, the earth was chaotic, but the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. If I was here on Pentecost Sunday, I would talk to you about that the Holy Spirit is looking for a place to land, and hopefully he'll land in your life today. Someone say amen. I have to excuse myself. My pastor is Sam Rodriguez. He was out here just a few, last year, the year before, and he sends his greetings. But I get excited about anything that has to do with the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God showed up before the day was named. And the Spirit of God is ready to show up before your day is complete. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. Then he separated the light from darkness. And he called the light day and the darkness night. And evening passed and morning came, marking the first day. For purposes of this message, marking one day. So I want to talk to you a little bit about the promise of one day. I thought about using the word potential instead of promise, but I decided not to, because I live in Sacramento, California, and we have a basketball team. Well, you could call it a basketball team. We're excited in Sacramento because we're finally getting a two-year span. The Oakland A's are moving to Sacramento, so we'll get a professional baseball team, and hopefully they'll win, because the Kings just keep letting us down over and over and over and over. So, and everybody always says, hey, the Kings have great potential this year. How many of you know potential never wins championships, right? Potential doesn't bring trophies home. But, so I don't, you know, I know that we have potential in the Lord, but cemeteries are full of people who had potential. I want to talk to you about the promise of God. So I want to use that word. How do you know that God will come through in your life? Here's how you know: because he's come through before. I believe in the power of testimony, and when you give your testimony to someone, and when you testify about what God has done in your life, it makes room in their heart that it could happen to them as well. Why? Because hope has a name, and his name is Jesus. Hope is not established in potential. Hope is established in the fact that God keeps his promises. So I want to talk to you a little bit about how God kept his promises, because in the beginning, the earth was chaotic, but one day God hovered and there was hope. There was nothing, but one day God spoke and created the day. God gave us the parameters for that day. One day can bring light into any situation. One day God took some dirt and formed a man, and one day God breathed and there was life in his image. God asked Noah to build an ark, and people laughed at Noah, but one day it started to rain. Abraham was childless, well into his old age, but one day he would have his son. Joseph was thrown into a pit, but one day his brothers bowed down to him, just as they had dreamed. Pharaoh held the people of God in captivity, but one day Pharaoh's army drowned. For 6 days, the walls of Jericho stood tall, but one day they came crashing down. One day, Elijah called down fire and rain. And let's not forget that one day, a little boy took his brothers some lunch, and that one day, Goliath would fall and die. The Hebrew boys are thrown into a fiery pit, and one day a fourth would stand with them in the fire, and they would be delivered. Miracle after miracle, story after story of how God intervenes in a moment, in a day, and does tremendous things. And I still believe in the promises of God that he could interrupt our days with one day of his presence and change our lives. Someone say amen. 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 There was a bishop in Sacramento. He used to say, I'm an amen all by myself, but I'm not going to do that in this house. Everybody say amen. Praise the Lord. There is a but one day with your name on it. You might be going through something, but one day. Your child might be lost right now, but one day. How many of you believe in that promise? Right? You may be going through a sickness, but one day. And ladies and gentlemen, one day every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, because God keeps his promises. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. I thank the God for the one day that I was saved, that one day that Jesus came into my life, the one day that he called me into ministry. And I just want to say, the reason I work with Convoy of Hope is because it's so fantastic to work with the ministry that I know is making an impact in the world. And the reason that this church participates with Convoy of Hope is because you all believe that God can still intervene and do amazing things all over this planet. And it's such a big deal to be a part of something like that. So the promise of one day. Secondly, let me talk to you just a little bit about the power of one day. Because when God shows up, he shows up in his mighty power. When an eternal God intervenes in one of our days, great things can happen. Powerful things happen. Let me give you an example. Sin had a stronghold on humanity, but one day there was a cross. Death and hell were seemingly invincible, but one day Jesus came knocking and stole their keys. The grave once meant the end of all things, but one day Jesus walked out of that grave in total victory. I love the third day mentality or concept, that we all can have that one day where we can be resurrected with Christ and live with him forever. But how many of you know that power isn't just for when we die? That power is while we are still living. Let me prove it to you. Ephesians 2:4. But because of his great love for us, God, who's rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It's by his grace we have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Jesus told a story of one and showed us that he would leave 99 just for one. Just for one. There's this concept of one, that God loves you individually and that God can do amazing things in just one day. Consider the prodigal son story. Here's this boy that runs away from his dad. He wants to go live the good life. But how many of you know that father was waiting for that one day one day his son would come home, and he already had a little fat calf ready to go, right? He already had a shiny ring. He already had some shoes in just his size because he was anticipating his return. I'm here to let you know that you may be lacking victory for just a moment, but one day God is going to bring all things together because he promises that, because he has the power to do that in your life even right now. So my father is named Porfirio Quintanilla Garza. I said that real cool, right? Right? I know a little bit of Spanish. Porfirio Quintanilla Garza. And my dad was born in a little town called San Benito, Nuevo León, Mexico. In fact, he wasn't even born in the town. He was born out in a ranch called El Llano. And my dad was born there. My mom only lived about 20-minute walk away from him, but they never met as kids. They met working in the fields in Florida. In Homestead, Florida. And they have amazing stories of romance. Young people that are here, young adults that are here, listen, man, there was a day when we couldn't text the person and say, do you like me, yes or no? There was a day where you actually had to talk to someone. And so he meets my mom, and they get to know each other just a little bit. And Pastor Aaron, you talk about just, you know, God's providence. They would end up going different places to work in the U.S., and somehow they would find out where the address was where they would land, and they would write each other love letters. Now, the reason I know they have love letters is because when my mom passed away, we got into her stuff. And we found a shoebox with all of the love letters that she kept all those years from my dad. So they fell in love, and my dad got saved. So there they are in their wedding picture. My dad looks like he's out of Hollywood somewhere, right? And so they got married, and he said, yes, I'm a Christian. And he kind of lied just a little bit. And so 3-4 years into their marriage, he was actually doing worse than before he met her. And he was a backslidden person, and he tells this testimony. And you see, the man on the left and the man on the right, they're two different people, completely. I didn't even know the man on the left. I don't know what it is to have a dad that comes home drunk or gambles away his money or anything like that, but I've heard stories about it, especially from my uncles, right? But one day, everybody say one day. One day, my dad's in a bar. He just wasted a bunch of money playing pool and losing some money, even though he's pretty good at pool. There's other people that are better. And so he's sitting in the bar, and he literally feels something tugging at his pants. And he goes like this, because what I didn't tell you is that I have an older sister that has sang since she was basically a baby. And at 4 and 5 years old, she was already singing in church. And she would go to my dad and pull his pant leg on Sunday morning. And she would say, Papi, vas a verme hoy en el servicio. Are you going to go watch me sing at church? She would say it every single Sunday. And he would move her hand and he would say, I'm not going today. So when he feels this in the bar, he immediately goes like this to take her hand away, and he realizes it's not his daughter, it's the Holy Spirit in the middle of a bar reminding him that God is real. And that one day in that bar, he decided, I'm going to follow Jesus the rest of my life. And that's why the man on the right is a man that's completely different than the man on the left. How many of you know that God can intervene because of the power of just one day, of just one moment? That was his but one day. And I'm standing before you today knowing of a God that loves us so much, of a father who I would catch reading the Word of God. I did say the word catch. A father that when I would go into my bedroom, he would be on his knees, and he wasn't doing it to show us anything. It's just what he did. And he's praying for us in our bedroom. That is a different man because of one day. What can God do in one day? So I'm going to talk to you finally about this concept. The partnership of one day. Because God has power, God has promise, but God uses partners. And this is a concept that we really need to understand as believers in Jesus, as followers of Jesus, that when God wants to do something on this planet, he uses the church. And when he wants to use the church, he uses individuals who are part of the church. So that's what God does, because he's a God of partnership. God with us. I love Christmas. Emmanuel, God with us. Now, I know many of us, we love the stories of God is for us. If God is for us, who can be against us, right? I love that too. It's powerful. But when you start to develop maturity in your Christian walk, you start to understand that it's not just God for me when I need him. It's God with me every single day. And I need the God that is with me, not just the God that is for me. Yes, I love the fact that God handles the enemies, right? But I love the fact even more that God would partner with a person like me, that God would partner with a person like you to do amazing things across the nations. John 6, 9. I love this part of the story of the feeding of the 5,000 because the disciples are asked by Jesus. They asked Jesus, what are we going to do with all these people? Jesus says, give them something to eat. Right? Give them something to eat. So they bring this boy, John 6, 9. Here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. How far will they go among so many? The math of God and our math are 2 totally different things. Because God can take just a little bit and expand it and multiply it to do great things. And when you give one day of your salary, when you set that one day aside, God is in the multiplication business. So the God with us, plus us, it's God plus us, does amazing things for the glory of God. This last year, I got to took a group of pastors to Nicaragua. And I want to introduce you to a man by the name of Jose. This is Jose. And just looks like a typical person, right? But he was a soldier. And he comes in to this area of this small town. And he sees these women that are selling some clothes and some little artwork and whatnot, and he goes up to them, and he says, hey, do you have any rope? And they say, well, what do you need rope for? And he says, because I intend to end my life today. And these women that had been through our women's empowerment program at Convoy look at this man, and they say, you're not going to end your life today. You're going to sit down and have some soup. How many of you know when a Latino woman tells you to sit down and have soup, you sit down? So he sat down, they fed him, they actually put him in a little makeshift bedroom at this house, and they showed it to us, and they put a mattress in there, and that's where this man would live, that's where he would find Jesus, that's where he would begin to be discipled. But let me tell you the power of that one day, of that one moment. Jose, having a talent for artwork, begins to teach them how to do some things, and it begins to multiply their business 2, 3, 4 times fold, and they start making even more. They start taking care of their families even more. Then he begins to have classes for dozens of women, and now he's teaching. How many of you know when God gets a hold of you, God's generosity gets a hold of you? Because he could have said, thank you very much. I have a better life now. I'm on my way. Instead, he begins to give back. And when you saw that picture, we had just prayed for him because he was ill. And he says, hey, if you're going to pray for my illness, also pray that I would be able to have a school that would empower even more women and even more kids so they wouldn't have to face the things that I faced in my life. All that happened in one day. So what do we have to do with that? I'm so glad you asked. You see, because one day sets the whole miracle in motion. One day, Jose began to help train women to make their businesses even better, like I just described. That would have never happened, but one day, women who had completed a women's empowerment program were there to save his life. That would have never happened, but one day, women who were given the option to take classes that gave them dignity, discipleship, and basic training to start a small business happened. That wouldn't have happened, but one day, a children's feeding program began in Nicaragua, and some moms were watching on the sidelines, and somebody by the name of Dory Donaldson was watching this, and she said, we got to do something for these women. And that all started because one day a hurricane hit Central America and Convoy responded to the disasters. And one day that opportunity unfolded an opportunity to begin the first feeding program. One day someone somewhere sat in a church, not sure if one day of their salary could really make a difference, but it did, and it can, and it will for the glory of God. So one day, a young boy gave Jesus what he had in his hand, and Jesus fed everyone that day. Whatever it is that God has given you, set something aside and watch what God can do with it. We're called to partner with God. So let me just break this down to you. What is the power of one day? Well, in 2023, this church and many others participated in this idea of one day to feed the world. And these are the things that happened. More than 250 million people last year were served. More than $2.5 billion worth of food and supplies were distributed. 571,000 kids were fed, and they were in a strategic feeding program where they're being discipled and their lives can change. We want to get to 1 million kids, and we believe God is going to do it very, very soon. 130 countries last year, and all 50 states were served because of the power of generosity. More than 30,000 individuals were trained in agriculture. More than 48,000 women and girls were empowered, and more than 700 disasters were responded to because the power of one day. Never, ever sell yourself short. What you give to God, once you put it in His hand, the power of God math begins to happen. And it's going to happen today in Jesus' name. And the more people who give God one day will unleash this heavenly multiplication. You know why? Because God can do amazing things in one day. And God can do amazing things with you in one day. So you're sitting in church today. You're about to give. And we are super grateful. But I realize, I'm still a pastor at heart. I realize there are people here today that you need a but one day kind of circumstance to happen right now. Maybe you've been believing God for something. I'm here to remind you that God is the God that keeps His promises. And one day, He's going to come through and everything is going to change. Your child is coming home. Somebody say amen. There's going to be revival. Jesus is coming back for His church, and that day is coming soon. So I want to pray for you, and I want to pray for what's about to happen. And then Pastor Aaron will come and give you instructions. Father, I thank You for this day. Lord, I pray that if anybody here doesn't know You as their Savior, that even today, in the midst of a one-day service, they would say, man, I'm going to take the challenge and follow Jesus starting today. That this could be the one day that changes everything. Lord, I pray for marriages right now that are a little rocky. Let this be that one day that You intervene and everything changes. I pray for prodigal kids that this would be the day that things would be set in motion, that this would be their but one day. And God, as we gather together to just give You a piece of who we are, a one day's wage. Lord, we believe that You will multiply it and feed thousands upon thousands in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.
Thank you, Nick. Will you guys give Nick a big hand? So I want to personally thank Nick for being here today. Dr. Garza is he's very humble on his accomplishments. He's a graduate from Fuller, which is one of the most prestigious Ivy League theological institutes in North America and really noted in the world. And I've got an opportunity to be around him, and he's just a real deal. And so thank you, Nick, for coming. Thanks for being here. We love you and appreciate your word today. And so I'm going to give you an opportunity today just to respond to what you've heard. So I want to show you how we're going to do this. And then before you do anything, the giving options are going to be on the screen. There's also an envelope here that's in your seat. And if you're writing a check today, write it to Life Church. It's much easier for us to get it through the bank if it says Life Church than Convoy. And we're going to give one check to Convoy. I promise you everything and then some will all go there. None of this today stays here whatsoever. Tammy and I are giving. I hope that you will join us in giving. But however you want to give today, you can do this. And so what we're doing is challenging you, as we have been for many, 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 many years now, to take one day's wage and set it aside and give it to the poor of the world. And I think everybody can do something. If you're a middle school student, ask your mom, your grandma, your dad, whoever's around you, your aunt. Just if you don't have anything in your pocket, that's fine. If you're like, hey, I'm a student and we take Apple Pay, okay? I'm just giving you a hard time, but I'm being serious. So you can do however you want to give today. Everybody can do something today because, again, this is not about us. This is really about making a difference for people that we may not know this side of eternity. So when you give, you may go, I don't have a whole lot. That's okay. Do you realize that $10 will feed one of those school children for an entire month? 10 bucks. $120 will feed one of those 571 school children that will be fed every day of school for an entire year. So 93 cents of every dollar given to Convoy goes right to the need. There's only 7 cents of every dollar that's put aside for overhead costs and administration. There is nobody. I serve as the chairman of the board for Convoy of Hope, and part of our responsibility as a board is a fiduciary oversight as well as the missional oversight of the organization. I just was in a conversation this past week with one of our executive board members and looking at a complete third-party audit of some activities that we have involved with. No one in this sector is giving that much money going right to the need. No one. I'm not disparaging anyone. I won't call any names. The reason why we partner with Convoy is because we know where it goes, and it goes directly to that need. And so Convoy is a substantial organization. You can look them up online, and they're very well thought of. But I just want you to know that as you're giving today, your money's going to go to that worker. That's going to go to that agricultural worker. It's going to go to that women's empowerment program. It's going to go to that disaster. It's going to go to that child that's in that school all around the world. And I've seen all these different programs in multiple countries and continents. Again, $120 feeds a child for one school year. A tractor truckload, a semi-truckload. And some of you last year bought 25 of these. They're $8,000 for a semi-truckload of food. Because you may go, hey, I can do 120. Well, great. How many kids do you want to support? How many kids do you want to give? How many meals do you want to give? That's one way of looking at it. Or if you want to simply say, hey, I want to give more than that. So $8,000 is a semi-load. And I know that because every 6 weeks, there's a Convoy of Hope truck that comes to Milwaukee that we get goods from in order to be able to do what we're doing at Life Center. So at 56th and Burleigh, when people were lined up a mile long on Burleigh Avenue yesterday afternoon for the food pantry and for the food bank, a majority of that staple of that is coming from Convoy because of the ability to procure gifts, procure food, all this kind of stuff. It's helping us right where we are. And so again, around the corner and around the world, this is what's going on. And so I just, even I've had text this week from people saying, hey, the hurricane victims, what's happening in Asheville, North Carolina. And if you've ever been there, the fact that that's happening there is very, very, very crazy because of the terrain and the geography. But it's understandable. But Convoy is there and has been there. And they were there going in. They will be there when it's over. It's there on the ground ministering to people. So even as you've been giving this year, you're giving of almost $1 million that Luke talked about so far this year to missions. Again, that doesn't stay here. That like some of you are, I think less than 3% of churches, Protestant churches in North America, give at the volume of $1 million plus beyond. That's not tithe. That's didn't operate the church. All of that 900 some odd thousand that you saw, all goes out. None of it stays here. And even today, as Nick has been here for the last 3 years, this is his fourth year. We've had four different guys who've kind of rotated through. We'll cross the $1 million giving line just in this offering over the last 4 years, Lord willing, for this one day to feed the world. So I just want to say thank you for your generosity. I want to encourage you to do something. Everybody can do something. Put it in that envelope. Digitally give online, however you want to. Ask somebody next to you for a buck, whatever you got to do. But do something because your one day gift, and Tammy and I do this every year, your one day's wage gift goes to change someone's every day. And I know only when we get to heaven will we see the effect of that. But I just want to say thank you in advance. Thank you for your giving. Thank you for your generosity. We'll give you a report next week. Matter of fact, we'll have you a special video next week that's coming from the disaster area there in North Carolina and what's going on. and because of your direct generosity, Life Church is a church that's giving and that's doing. If you're new to Life Church, welcome. I'd love to be able to shake your hand and greet you in the foyer after service. If you've got any other questions about this offering or anything else that we're doing, we're happy to answer that question. But we're a church that prioritizes not ourselves, but a lost world. I believe that evangelism in the 21st century is compassion. I totally believe that. I can show you that theologically. I can show you that statistically. I can show you how it opens doors, period. Evangelism in the 21st century is compassion. And this is what opens a door. Whether we're in the city of Milwaukee, whether we're in the suburbs, whether we're in some far-flung place around the earth, or whether we're in a disaster area, it opens up. Like with Convoy, then this is one of the other major differences, is that it's not just humanitarian aid, which is great, but it's eternal because every one of the distribution points is going through local churches, not of a denomination. I could name you, if you're involved in Christianity at all, of the individuals who give and who sponsor and work through Convoy because of what they do. But again, it's these local churches. It's these local places. It's people just like you, people just like me, being able to do this and being God's hands extended. And that's what makes a difference. So I'm going to pray for this offering. And you can take it in your hand if you want to hold it there in your hand or however you're doing that. And I'm going to pray for God's blessings over this. Father, thank you today. Thank you for the opportunity to be able to give. Thank you, Lord, the resources that we have. Thank you, God, that, Lord, we're not in need of disaster relief this morning. But there are people that are. Thank you, Lord, that we're not in need of food. But there are people that are. Thank you, we're not in need of empowerment agriculturally or as women, but there are people that are. Thank you, Lord, that you've blessed us, that we have something in our hand. Because there's a lot of places in this world they don't have that. Your word says it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And the reason why that is because it always feels more comfortable to be someone that is giving than receiving. Because we cannot give what we do not have. And if we have the ability to give something, it makes this statement that you're a God of more than enough, that we're able to take care of ourselves and we're able to bless others. And your word is very straightforward about that. Then when we lend, we give to the poor, we lend to you, Lord. So I just pray your blessings. I pray, God, you bless this offering. I pray, Lord, God, it's more than a number, but God, it's lives. These children, for these women, for these farmers, for these people, God, that are in distress and in need, I pray that it would open up the doors of compassion for you, Jesus. What Nick talked about today, the hope of the world, that you, oh God, would show up in the middle of that. Salvation would come to those homes. Salvation would come to those communities. Salvation would come to those children. Salvation would come to those women. Salvation would come to those farmers. Salvation would come to people that feel hopeless and helpless. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you as you give today.
Hi, my name is Lisa Postgate, and my family and I have been attending the Appleton campus for about 10 years. And in that time, we've had lots of opportunities to give to One Day to Feed the World. And it's always been something that we thought was exciting and a good cause, but it became more personal for me this year because in March, I was able to go on a trip to Tanzania. And I was so impressed by Convoy of Hope and what they're doing in Tanzania. Firstly, just because the people that they've hired there are all local people. And I thought that was so important and cool that the people who are administering the program have a long-term vested interest in what's going on in Tanzania. And then the program itself is focused on long-term sustainability. The families are contributing. They are growing the crops. They are learning about agriculture and nutrition. The parents are volunteering to cook food and serve it at the schools. And the ultimate goal, which I thought was so impressive, was that in 5 years or so, Convoy of Hope wouldn't even be needed in many of these villages because they'd be self-sustaining. And then lastly, I was so impressed, and I don't think I would have learned this another way, that a dollar can go a long way in a country like Tanzania. where the average annual income is about $1,200 a year. So when we say things like, no amount is too small, or your change matters, or a dollar makes a difference, that actually is true in a country like Tanzania, which brings it home for me and my family as I'm teaching my kids about being generous, that they can make a difference. But more than that, this became personal to me, because in each of the villages we went to, not only did we pray for the people there, but also we were introduced to so many of them and talked to them about their hopes and their dreams. And what I learned is that they're not really any that different from my hopes and dreams for my family. They would say things like, I just want my kids to be happy and healthy, or I just want my kids to have an education so that they can hope and dream for a future that might be better than the one that they could have had otherwise. And that's not any different than what I want for my kids. And then to meet some of the children who are benefiting from the program, to see them happy, healthy, able to concentrate on their studies, it changed me forever. I now know that I truly can make a difference. And One Day to Feed the World is a program that can help me do that. They are good stewards of the finances that they've been given, and the programs are just incredible. And I encourage anyone, give, and if you can, go.
We say all the time at Life Church that we believe in giving around the corner and around the world, and it's life change stories like that that really put it into perspective where our money goes. And an encouraging message like today, I hope you'll join us in giving as we see God do incredible things with our giving. Will you stand with me all across the room this morning as we pray and end service? Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for the opportunity to do this with you. We thank you that you are a God who works with us, who wants us along with you, God. We pray that you would bless the funds that we give. God, we know that you can do more with it than we could ever think or imagine. We pray for the people that this offering will bless, the students that these meals will feed, God. And one day when we get to meet heaven, God, we look forward to that reunion where we will see them in perfect eternity with you. God, bless our weeks as we go about this place. In Jesus' name, amen.